Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Greed by Kerr Dookie and Kay Webster. Narrated by Alex Kidd and Amelie Griffin. Greed, in the end, fails even the greedy. Catherine Lewis. Preface. The Elite Seven. Since 1942, the Elite Seven Society have created and guided influential leaders, molding the country into something better. This society was birthed by Malcolm Benedict II, who wanted more for Americans. More wealth, more influence, more power. Some leaders have the skills, but not the influence, and that simply wasn't fair, according to Mr. Benedict. He invested his own money and time to construct a society that bred the best of the best, year after year. But to be the best, you must be ruthless. Good leaders make sacrifices. Sometimes the sacrifices are hard, but the rewards are plentiful. Mr. Benedict made sure to indulge these leaders with their utmost desires. A devout Catholic himself, he designed a society that rewarded his leaders with the sins that were frowned upon. If they were giving up love and happiness and joy for the betterment of the country, they deserved something in its stead. Pride, envy, wrath, sloth, greed, gluttony, and lust. Choosing leaders for this society means that it takes intense focus. Only seven are to be selected, and the investments and time are showered upon the new seven chosen every 4 years. The predecessors of each group of seven choose people who fit the sin that will mold them into who they are needed to be in the future, what America needs them to be. This is after a detailed study of many potential candidates. The university's acting dean behaves as a liaison for the society, bringing the college applicants to the predecessors so that the selection may begin. The society members who are going out will bring forth a candidate that the society votes on and approves. After they are chosen, the initiates are given a token and an invitation to initiation. The initiation will be a test to their character and ability to do what's right for the betterment of the society. Once the initiates pass their test, they are discreetly branded with the mark of the society and are groomed through challenges during the course of their elite education to breed them into the influential people they were meant to be. Once in the Elite Seven, there is no getting out. The money and power are their reward. Should they choose to stray or break the rules, the society strips them of everything. Anything they once had will be removed. Opportunities will never arise. They will no longer have the support of the society. To this day, there have been no known occurrences of anyone from the society having to be banished. This elite group of people are what every young man and woman aspire to be a part of. While the group is a secret society, they are whispered about amongst the privileged folks in the country. Anyone who is anyone knows of the group and secretly hopes it's their son or daughter who are selected, for good fortune is showered on the family for decades to come. Prologue. Micah. It wasn't supposed to go down like this. A fire's burned inside me since taking out envy. As if I consumed the blaze that torched the church, swallowed it whole like the fucking devil. The flames caress, licking over old wounds, healing, changing, creating new life from the ashes. We defeated an enemy who pretended to be one of us. An enemy who tried to take something he had no right taking. I want to replay his death over and over so I can live in the pain of his screams, feel justice being served over and over. It wasn't supposed to go down like this. Now, we need to take out the final piece of the fucked up puzzle. There's no rest for sinners. We're here to cut the head from the beast. Finally. Malcolm Benedict. His name alone sends a ripple of unease through my body. My heart roars like a war drum within the shelter of my ribs. The final battlefield is his office. These walls will become his tomb. Dark, penetrating eyes slice through me with anger and disdain as we face off. Beside me is pride, shoulder to shoulder, a united front. Is this all you have? Do you not understand the rules? Malcolm growls, losing the cool mask he wears so well. The order of things! You don't get to defeat me. You're all beneath me. I can't be taken out by a bunch of boys pretending to be men. It's going to take a little more than just the two of you. This pile of shit is the root of the elite. His vines are buried so deep within us all, twisting, the thorns stabbing, bleeding us out. There's no being free of him, while there's air in his lungs and his stone-cold heart still beats. Pride stands, his chest heaving, an uncontained fury pouring from him in waves. His head turns and his eyes meet mine, saying words he could never speak. It wasn't supposed to go down like this.
They're not alone.
A familiar voice slips through the air, saturating me in an icy dread. My heart pounds as they walk into the room from the open doorway. Another chess piece being moved across the board in this fucked-up game the elite play. Don't be foolish, Malcolm snaps. Pick the side you know is going to win. Haven't we taught you anything?
There was never a choice. It was always them. It will always be them.
The spark of the bullet firing makes my heart skip. It's unexpected, cowardly. It happens too fast to be prevented. I can't move. Everything slows as our limbs attempt to flee. The bang, followed by a spurt as it finds purchase in soft flesh, makes the world dim. Blood, screams, death, death, death. I can't fucking breathe. I can't breathe. I can't. It wasn't supposed to end this way. 1. Micah. Becoming Greed. The Beginning. Long hair sways down her back and forth like a pendulum as she walks. She's a little taller than I remember, and her posture is poised. Like one of the choir chicks here who learned not to slouch from birth. Unfortunately, it's not the rugrat I want it to be. My eyes deceive me. I see them at every turn, but it's all in my head. Evie moved away with her brother, my best friend Mason, years ago. I was an only child until Mason and Evie came into my life and gave me the sibling relationship I never had. It was gone as quickly as it arrived. The girl who holds my attention slips out the side door of the church, and my heart releases from the chokehold of my memory. I fucking miss them.
Micah.
My mother whisper yells, yanking out my earbud and narrowing her eyes. What? I snap, smirking, when Eminem lyrics spit out angrily, filling the deathly quiet cathedral. It's not often I bring them to church, but I couldn't resist tormenting my mother for kicks. When I called and told her I was coming to Sunday Mass, I could practically see the sweat break out across her brow. She's too polite and eager to please to tell me no. It's why I get away with so much shit. Why my dad gets away with so much shit. It's not like I'll miss them. Moving out from beneath Dad's thumb, now that I'm 18 and Ken, will be the best thing to happen to me. I mean, he still controls me with his wallet, but at least he won't be breathing down my neck, bitching about my music, griping about my life choices and lecturing me on how to be important within the community like Mother, the kitty doctor extraordinaire. Fuck that. I found an apartment close to campus way over the budget Dad allowed me. My father likes to assert some authority over me every now and again, his attempt at keeping me in line. He knows it doesn't work, and his will and ability to enforce it is non-existent, so the apartment will be mine as soon as he signs the check. The ace in my sleeve is why I'm sitting here bored out of my fucking skull. I plan to bring Mother to view it, telling her she can furnish it for me. Anything that makes her feel important in my life, and she's putty in my hands. A sigh pushes past my lips as I slouch back in the hard-as-fuck pew, giving me a sore ass. What the fuck is taking the Archbishop so long? I bet he's in there getting his kicks from the sweet piece of ass who disappeared inside. It's not her. I'm going for a smoke. Stay alert and tell me if I miss anything, I tease, receiving a backhanded slap from my mother on my ass as I slide past her and my father. The place is packed, but no one is talking. It's eerie as hell. I wave to a couple familiar girls from school, earning me death glares from their fathers. Now would probably be a bad time to tell them their little angels aren't that angelic. As soon as I step outside, the Louisiana heat wraps its deathly grip around my throat, suffocating me. Slumping against the side of the building, I pull out a joint and light it, filling the already thick air with a cloud of smoke as sweat breaks out on my forehead. It's muggy as fuck.
That habit will put you in an early grave,
a serene voice chirps. It belongs to none other than Isabel, the Archbishop's daughter. She's not my usual type, but has a waist that would look pretty with bruises and cute little tits perfect for biting. But she has a frightened bird vibe about her that's not my kink. Too fragile for my liking. I bet the Archbishop puts in extra prayers to keep the bad boys who like to break things away from her. We all gotta die of something, sweetheart, I bite back, smirking.
I suppose that's true,
she says softly with a smile, sliding her cardigan up her shoulders, flinching when the fabric brushes over what looks like a cut. You okay? I ask, raising a brow and nodding to her shoulder. It's visible, the curling of her spine as she folds into herself.
Yep, fine.
I've known her for a long time, but I've never really gotten to know her. We don't exactly run in the same circles. She prays all week or does some boring church shit. I fucking party. The Archbishop keeps her on a tight-as-fuck leash from what I've been told. Poor girl could do with someone taking her out and showing her there's more to life than this place. But I'm not the guy to do it. Was it you who went into the Archbishop's room? He's late. Keeping everyone waiting isn't very holy of him. I jest, but it doesn't go over as I expect. Her brows crash over her eyes, and she bites anxiously on her bottom lip. Isabel, I was joking. Are you sure you're okay? Damn, she's really skittish. Fidgeting, she laughs awkwardly, making me want to fuck off back inside. Boredom be damned.
I'm fine,
she utters.
I needed some air.
She smiles at me.
The girl you saw was Evie, a sister of sorts, collecting her final belongings. She moved into the dorms at St. Augustine University.
The girl you saw was Evie. Evie. Dropping my blunt to the ground, I race inside, straight down the aisle between the pews, ignoring the hissing coming from my mother telling me not to run in church. My fucking chest feels like it's going to crack down the middle as my hand hovers over the handle to the Archbishop's office. Thud. I push down on the small metal knob. It gives way under my touch, swinging open from the inside. It's her. It's fucking her. The kid sister I inherited years ago when my best friend bulldozed into my life and shook it up. She doesn't see me at first and takes a step forward, stopping when her downcast eyes find the tips of my boots. Her gaze crawls over my tall frame, and I inspect every inch of her in, as she does the same to me to see how much she's grown up in the last 2 years. Petite frame, pert nose, light brown hair and gray eyes the same shade as Mason's. Holy shit, it really is her.
Excuse me, please.
she says without a flicker of recognition. It stings. I can't speak. A lump forms in my throat. It dawns on me how much I've missed both her and Mason. I thought that would have been mutual. I was all they had. She moves past me, and it takes me a few seconds for my brain to register what the hell just happened. Like my ass is on fire, I chase after her. Before I get close, my father's hand snaps out, grabbing my wrist as I passed him. Micah, he warns. All eyes of the full church are watching us. Ripping my arm from his grip, I jog outside to find her hurrying toward a car. My feet skid to a stop when I see the evil foster mother from hell in the driver's seat. What the fuck is going on? Evie, I call out. Her shoulders tense before she turns toward me, her eyes glistening with tears.
Go away, Micah,
she growls, her eyes darting to the car, then back to me. Pleading. Begging. I don't fucking get it. The click of the car door opening makes her exhale a shaky breath.
Evelyn, the evil bitch croons. What's going on? Nothing,
Evie croaks out, shaking her head so quickly she almost loosens it from her shoulders. I sense someone behind me before a palm rests on my shoulder. My father, being a nosy fuck as usual. A sly smile upturns the bitch's lips.
Dixon, what a pleasant surprise,
she purrs. Walking around her car, she comes to stand in front of us, invading the fucking boundaries of personal space. Her eyes drag over me in a cougar type of approval. Fucking whore. I'd die before putting my dick anywhere near her used-up ass. Lillian, Dad greets, his voice cold.
Wow, what a man your son has grown into.
She strokes a polished red nail down my chest, and I roughly grab her wrist to stop her descent to my dick. Based on her thirsty expression, it was exactly where she was headed. Narrowing my eyes, I shove her away.
Back off, Dad warns. You know the rules regarding my son.
Rules? What the fuck does that mean? Holding up her hands in surrender, she winks at me.
Shame. He would have been a nice addition.
Addition to the notches on her bedpost? No fucking thanks.
Evie, what the hell are you doing with her? I demand. Where's Mason?
Her face pales at the mention of her brother, and the tears threatening moments before spill over onto her pale cheeks. I rush forward, throwing my father's hand from my shoulder.
We're on the clock, Evelyn,
the bitch snaps out, tapping her finger on the face of her watch. She is taking a damn minute, I growl. Deal with it. Guiding Evie away from prying ears, I reach the side of the building and grasp her to me. She's stiff at first, then relaxes against me, clinging to me like she's afraid I'm not really here. Pulling back, I study her features. She sniffles.
I forgot how much you and Mace look alike.
I'm prettier, I tease, raising a brow.
You could be brothers,
she adds in a whispery voice. We are brothers, and I'm your brother too, Evie, always. Wild gray eyes, tears staining her cheeks. This is not the same girl who, at 16, was shoved to the ground in a high school corridor by a jock and mocked for her cheap clothes. That girl got to her feet, laughed at the bastard, then dick-punched him for all to see.
I may not have nice things like you, but my balls are bigger,
she quipped. And right then, I knew, just like I knew with Mason, I had to be in her life. Evelyn Blackwell was a spitfire. At first, I tormented her. Learning the dynamics of our little group took time.
Why are you such an asshole?
She asked me once. I don't know. Maybe because I don't have a sister of my own to annoy. I shrugged, stealing her burger and taking a huge bite.
Well, I feel sorry for you then.
I'm rich, I said with a laugh.
Don't feel sorry for me, little rugrat.
There's nothing richer than family, Micah. I'd take Mason over any amount of money you have.
And like the greedy bastard I am, I wanted that too. And so, they became it. My family. This girl, the one before me now, she's different. Broken. Damaged. My soul seeks out the familiarity of her, but I come up empty. Blank, like I'm staring at a stranger. It's only been 2 years. Who are you now, Evie Blackwell? 2. Micah. Lose the attitude, my father grinds out before I've even opened my mouth. Showing him around the apartment was tense as hell after leaving Evie. Mother pranced around, coming up with a million decorating ideas just like I knew she would, but my mind was on one thing. The promise Dad made me 2 years ago. 2 years ago. You took the damn Porsche again, didn't you? Dad demands, his face turning bright red. Not important. I need you to help Mace, I bark out. He got arrested and... Holding up his hand to cut me off, he stands and rounds his desk, sitting his ass on the corner and folding his arms over his chest. I already know, and there's a lot more to it than simply Mason getting arrested. How the hell do you know? Furrowing his brow, he looks down at the floor. Lillian called me when you showed up there with him. Lillian? You mean their foster mom? Yes. He stands now, coming toe-to-toe with me and placing his hands on my shoulders. Mason and Evelyn are in a lot of trouble, son. I warned you to stay clear of that boy. He's my best friend, I snap, pulling away from him. He's trouble. No, he's in trouble, and it's not his fault, I growl. That woman... Stop, he demands, his tone taking on a level that warns me not to push. I'll make an agreement with you. I will help, but my help comes with conditions. Anything, I agree, eager to help Mason in any way I can. He has no one to turn to. I'm it for him, for them both. Dad holds his hand out to me. Phone. Easy, I'll buy a new one. I take it out of my pocket and slap it in his open palm. Done, I say with a grin. Pleased to be getting my way. A dark chuckle resonates from his chest. Oh, it will cost a lot more than a cell phone, Micah. Name the price, I growl, throwing myself into his office chair. I kick my feet up on his desk. I will ensure both Mason and his sister are safe, looked after, and living their best life. But it won't be here, son. And you must promise to let them go, to not contact them or have anything to do with their new life. That's a bullshit deal. I narrow my eyes, swiping my boots so my legs fall to the floor. He glares down at me, leaning on the arms of the chair, caging me in. You want my help or not? Bear this in mind, boy. You have no idea the cost of asking me for this help. What the hell does that mean? Who the hell is this woman? It takes a lot to rattle my father. I don't think I've ever seen him cagey about another person, but there's something about this situation, about this woman that has him on edge. That makes me more determined to get my best friend and Evie away from her. It means Lillian isn't a woman easily bought off, he hisses, letting out an exasperated breath. Pushing away from me, he walks to the pictures on his bookshelf. There's one of a vacation we took 6 years ago. It was the last time we took one as a family. They go on couples-only trips now, and I stay home by choice. I want my best friend and Evie to catch a fucking break. I walk up beside him, smiling down at the picture that has him fixated. Don't cuss with your mother in the house, he scorns, and I have to hold back the smirk wanting to break free. He tries with discipline, but struggles to enforce it. They don't have a dad to look out for them. They don't have anyone, I remind him. I'm aware, and I'll help them. Do we have a deal or not? He lifts his gaze to mine, holding out his hand. You promise me they will have a good life. Yes. Then yes, we have a deal, I agree, slipping my hand in his and shaking. Present. 2 years later, almost to the day, we're back in his office. The check for my apartment already in my pocket, but that won't pay for his broken promise. What the fuck, Dad? He knew these questions were coming. Language, he barks out. Your mother is in the next room. Close the door and sit your ass in the chair. You'll speak to me like a man, not a spoiled brat. I slam the door closed. The golfing medals he has on every wall rattle, threatening to fall down around him, just like our relationship if he doesn't have answers for me. First of all, I didn't break my promise, or so I thought, he says with a frown. What does that mean? I ask, sitting in the chair opposite his desk. It means Lillian is a manipulative bitch with very powerful roots and even deeper pockets. Snorting, I lean forward, placing my elbows on my knees. She outriched you? Narrowing his gaze, he picks up a pen and fiddles with it. No, she outplayed me. What the fuck does that even mean? I'm going to need more than these riddles, Dad. I went over her head to her brother. He assured me Evelyn would be taken care of, but Lillian got to him with regards to Mason. He told me Mason would be given a place to stay, food, and clothes, but it wouldn't be with his sister. A rush of anger hits me, and I stand abruptly. Planting my hands on his desk, I lean over it to look him in the eye. So, you knew they were separated. Malcolm Benedict doesn't give favors easily, Micah. Everything has a heavy price where the Benedicts are concerned. Favors from the elite don't come free. The elite's a myth, I scoff, pushing off his desk and pacing the floor. The elite have been whispered about at fancy clubhouses and expensive parties, but it's purely that, a rumor. It's very far from a myth, my dad snaps, throwing the pen down. What did it cost you? I ask, intrigued. He's silent for a pause, then his brow drops. I'm still waiting to find out. That's fucking ominous. My thoughts go to the moments at the church with Lillian and Evie. What did you mean when you told Lillian she knows the rules about me? Running his hand through his hair, he nods like he's deciding whether or not to offer me honesty. You're a prime candidate for the elite. As soon as you hit your teens, Lillian became interested in you for the elite. Without me stepping in to prevent it, I knew they would recruit you when you became of age. Another Dixon on their roster. Another? Slouching back in the chair, my mouth drops open. You're elite? I ask on a disbelieving laugh. I learned very quickly just how toxic the elite can be, he bites out. I didn't want that for you. You don't get to make those choices for me. The hell I don't. Lillian and the elite have their claws deep in that Evelyn girl. She's tainted, Micah. I want you to stay the hell away from her. She's my best friend's sister. That's not fucking happening. I want to know everything there is to know about this elite. And Dad, don't leave anything out. It's dark when I make it to campus. I'm a ball of sizzling energy. Learning about the elite and knowing the motherfuckers who run it have their hands around Evie's neck doesn't sit well with me. She was different, and I need to know where she's been, how she's doing. I need to make sure she's okay. I don't trust the word of the other people, and one way or another, I'm going to be in her life, even if I have to force my way in. The elite wants Evie, then they can get me too. And together, we can find Mason. It irks me that my father doesn't know where he was taken. I can't see Mason going calmly into the night. He would never give up Evie, so there must be something the Lillian bitch is holding over him to keep him away. The elite will have the answers. I need to become elite. 3. Micah. Watching Lillian not even check her surroundings while walking to the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?